All right. Well, good morning. Man, I tell you what, I love my spot up here on Sundays like this when y'all are singing well and worshiping God. It's so enjoyable to hear you and be able to just kind of take that in. It's not for me. It's for God. I get that. I know. Worship isn't about us. It's about God. We get that. But man, I tell you what, it's so enjoyable to hear that. So we are going to talk about our second habit. So last week we gave you our first habit about winning the day. And sometimes these habits are something you need to do every day. Sometimes they're occasional when things happen. And that's the habit we're talking about today. So last week we talked about flip the script. And the idea is that if you want to change your life, you've got to start by changing your story. Specifically, the story that you're allowing yourself to tell yourself. I didn't share this with you last week, but our small group leader, the guy that I co-lead with, Dakota Bagwell, shared this in the group. You know that 80%, roughly 80% of our internal conversation is negative, right? Oh, you can't do that. I can't believe you're thinking of that. No, you're not tall enough. You're too short. You know, you're too fluffy. Whatever. All these different things, right? This negative self-talk that we get. And again, it's not about the self-help thing. It's about seeing ourselves the way that God sees us and what God says about us and His character and how He views us and changing that internal narrative that we've allowed ourselves to jump into, which becomes self-fulfilling prophecy, and then we fall short of the purpose and the plan that God has for our lives. So if you want to change your life, you got to begin by changing your story and flipping the script. We gave you these little tiny books last week. So if you didn't get one, if you weren't here last week, we actually have about 15 of them left back at the Connection Center, so you can grab them. I've already had a couple people go by and go, are these extras? I'm like, well, did you get one already? Because we want to make sure we get that. So today we're moving into the second part of that, the second habit. And so just again, one of the reasons that we're giving you these things is because we know that the more senses that you use, the more things that you have, the more things that you touch, feel, taste, and experience, the more you're going to remember them. And so our goal is with this whole thing is not just to teach you something. It's literally to change how you live each and every day, because every day is a capsule in and of itself. A 24-hour period, when it's over with, God gives you a brand new day, and His mercies are new every single morning. And I tell you what, there are some times at the end of the day that I feel like I've burned through all of God's mercies, right? But that's not true. The Bible says that His mercies are everlasting and will never end. And so we enjoy that. We celebrate that. And so one of the things that we're also doing is we're also doing small groups, just in case you're wondering. Remember we talked about the more that you see things, the more that you, don't anyone come up and go, oh, small groups, because that'll be weird, okay? So, but we encourage you to get engaged with a small group. It's not too late. Yes, we started last week, but we still got 6 weeks to go of this, including this week. And so we encourage you to sign up. You can see those groups. If you go back to the Connection Center, you can see all the different ones. Or you can just go on our website and click the small groups tab. It'll show you all of them and where they are all throughout the week, all at different times, all in different locations. And we highly encourage you to be a part of that and begin that conversation with other people to kind of really help that foundation of your understanding of what this means to be able to take place. And then, of course, in March, we're going to be doing our new vision series, what we're doing and how we're changing, how we're moving forward. And one of our goals is, you know, we're going to leave, and anyone with us with this, we're going to leave the last few years behind us, right? We're like, okay, enough of that stuff. We're kind of ready to move to what God has for us next. You know, one of the things that we actually had to stop during COVID was the in-person offering, you know, where he handed the plates, because everyone's like, I'm not touching it after him. I just saw him rub his nose or cough into his hand or something else. And so here at the beginning of February, we're going to start that again. Now, we'll tell you why we're doing it. We're doing it for two reasons. First of all, we always want to give people opportunity to respond, to be able to turn their connect cards and that type of thing. But we have no idea how many of you actually use that. You go, I would prefer to do that. And so we're going to start that. But you know what? We're also going to go, if it's ineffective, we're not going to use it. Because as a church, our vision is to glorify God as an effective and influential church. So we're going to give it a shot and see what happens. And if y'all are like, this sucks, we're not doing this, cool, we won't do it anymore then. But we want to give you that opportunity to be able to be engaged with that as well. So, okay. So today, we're talking about how to kiss the wave. Now, of all the reasons that people tend to give for not being successful, for not being where they want to be, who they want to be, not being able to accomplish God's purpose for their life, all these different things and all these different excuses that people give, one of the ones, and I don't know, you may not agree with me, you may, no, I hear a whole bunch of other ones, but one of the ones I hear the most goes something like this. I would be where I wanted to be if it weren't for all the things that kind of fell in my path. If I had the same advantages and opportunities as so-and-so had, well, I would be doing just as good as so-and-so. If I didn't have so many negative people in my life, if I had more money to be able to start this, if I had more time, and really what it boils down to is that the excuse, and I'm going to call it that because I believe it's an excuse, the excuse that we give ourselves and other people is that the obstacles that are in my way are too big and too overwhelming for me to get past. Now, you probably don't believe that for every obstacle in your way. And maybe for you, it's not one big obstacle. Maybe it's the death by a thousand cuts, right? All these little teeny tiny things, I mean, every single day, and you just have enough. Have you ever just had enough? You're like, "Bruh." So we tend to look at these obstacles and we tend to get ourselves overwhelmed. And we tend to kind of hold ourselves back, and we tend to kind of give up a little bit, but not completely because we're not losers, right? But we don't push the way that we would normally push. So here's something, and this is a free one, by the way. This is totally like, as I'm talking, I'm like, ooh, say this. So here you go. This is totally free, not on the notes. Are you ready? We can't control the obstacles, difficulties, and pain that is going to come into our lives. The reality is, you're going to have trouble. Jesus Christ even says it. He goes, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he says, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have pain. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have money troubles, emotional troubles, financial troubles, relational troubles, spiritual troubles. You're going to have obstacles in life, okay? That's just true. And so here's what I want you to do. Let's just do this. Look to the person you're right, person you love, your significant other, the one that you love, the one that you came with, who knows? And I want you to tell this to them, okay? Life is hard sometimes. Just tell them. Just there you go. Cool. Life's hard sometimes. All right. It just is, right? It's gonna be difficult. You're gonna have obstacles. And here's the thing: you can't control what obstacles or how many obstacles come into your life, but you can control how you respond to them. You can control how you react to them. You can control how it changes, alters, and transforms you from the inside out. So here's the big idea for today. The obstacle isn't in the way. The obstacle is the way. The obstacle isn't in the way. The obstacle is the way. And the habit, which, quite frankly, there's one other habit I think you might remember more, but this one, simply because of the fact that today when you leave, you're going to be given lip butter. So I got these, like, oh, chapsticks. These are great, right? I got them. I pulled it out, looked at it. It's like lip butter. Has anyone ever heard of lip butter before? Okay, the women. Any guy, raises your hand. John, put your hand down. Don't admit that you've heard of lip butter, John. Listen, just stick a butter, right? I've never heard of lip butter before, but let me tell you something. The flavors are fantastic. So anyways, because here's the habit. The habit is kiss the wave. Kiss the wave. You're like, what in the world? Okay, so for me, I am not a beach person. My family, we're not beach people. How many beach people we have here? Like, beach people, totally? Okay, cool. Y'all just, like, must be miserable. Sand in your shorts, in your shoes, everywhere. If you've got kids, forget about it. You might as well just sell your vehicle on the way home because you're going to have sand for the next 6 years in it. And here's the thing, though. My mom and dad, beach people. And when I say beach people, Like, they spend 6 months out of the year down in Newport Richey, Florida. He's a pastor, like a pastor for retirees down there. And literally every time I call him, like, what'd you do today? Oh, I went to the beach. I'm like, oh, great. How was your sandwich with sand in it? But they love the beach. And so as kids, that's where, you know, if we didn't go to New York to see family, we would go down to like Pensacola Beach or something like that. And we would spend our entire time on the beach. And I'm not a beach person, but I do like the ocean. And one of the things I like about the ocean are waves. Now, when I was younger, when I was smaller, I didn't like waves. In fact, I'm pretty sure my parents have a picture of me as like a toddler crying and bawling, sitting on the edge of the wave because the wave had just knocked me over. Wasn't a fan of it, right? But as I got older, I realized these waves are kind of cool. Anyone ever boogie boarded before? Or done like body surfing on the waves? Any like legit surfers? Anyone ever actually surfed at all? Okay, you're like, Lou, do we live in Indiana? Nobody surfs. But there's something cool about waves. Waves are powerful. And if you try to go against the wave, what happens? No bueno. You get sand in all sorts of other different places. But if you learn to ride the wave, it can become a really cool experience. If you learn to allow the wave's power to work for you instead of against you, the thing that knocked you down now is carrying you. Think about that. That is obstacles. You see, if we look at obstacles as the enemy, if we look at obstacles as something that's meant to stop us, to deter us, to make us throw in the towel, then we will never be able to be successful in overcoming any obstacle because it's too much for us. But I want you to think for just a moment. We know David because of Goliath. Think about that. It wasn't his obstacle that was in the way. The obstacle was the way. God intentionally put that in his path so that he could overcome it, to create him, to craft him, to prepare him for what he had next. And that's the idea of kiss the wave. Because obstacles are going to come in your life. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have pain. You're going to have people that work against you. You're going to have people that try to undermine you. You're going to have circumstances that try to derail you. And so if you look at the obstacle as the difficulty, you will never overcome it. If, however, you look at it, you go, hey, God would never allow something into my life unless it's got purpose behind it. God would never allow something, now notice I didn't say God will never allow something bad into your life. We're going to see that in just a minute. Because sometimes God uses bad things to produce great results. But the reality is that if you know Jesus Christ, if you are following Jesus Christ, then he is never going to allow anything in your life except for it has a purpose and a plan. And God's purpose and his plan is always to bring you closer to himself and more like his son, Jesus Christ. So, how do we do this? Well, I'm going to give you three things, three simple things, three ways to respond to the waves, the obstacles, three ways to change how you see the perspective, the obstacle, because there are different kinds of obstacles. So, obstacle, there we go. There are multiple different obstacles that come into our life, and so it'll depend upon which one of these obstacles it is or which reaction that you're fearful of or which reaction you might have depending upon which one. So the first way we need to look at obstacles differently is that instead of having panic, we need to choose peace. So the first thing is choose peace over panic. Choose peace over panic. I'm sure that most of you have experienced this. You're going a particular direction. You're doing something. Things are going the way that you want them to go. And then out of nowhere, bam, something hits you. It could be a diagnosis from a doctor. It could be a phone call from a friend, a text, a conversation. Your boss calling you into his office. Out of nowhere. It just comes out of nowhere. And I'm going to be very transparent with you. when that type of stuff happens in my life, my first reaction happens about right here. My stomach just turns, right? I start to sweat a little bit. I'm like, oh, man. And then my brain goes into overdrive. For those of you that are like planners and strategic people, isn't it awful sometimes when things come out of nowhere at you? Because what happens is your brain goes into overdrive and you think of every possibility that could possibly be happening. And you're trying to work through it and trying to process before anything's even happened. And you begin to have a panic response instead of a peace response. You go, well, that's easy to say, Dave. And I agree, that's very easy to say because panic and peace start with the same letter. It's very easy to say. It's not as easy to do. But I think you'd all agree with me that Jesus was the greatest teacher that's ever lived. He taught in ways that are so unique. In fact, still today, they're looked at it and understood and kind of dissected to understand how that we can communicate better with other people the truth of the Word of God. And one of the things that Jesus loved to do is he loved to use stories. He loved to use object lessons. He loved to bring people into an environment and then talk about the environment. I truly believe when he talks about being the good shepherd, he's probably got sheep behind him in the background, right? This is just the way that Jesus was. But there were some times when his disciples were so dense and they couldn't get it that he had to give them an immersive experience. Now, I know, we love to read that. We go, those disciples, what a bunch of schmucks. But that is us, isn't it? Like, we have Jesus all over the thing. He's like, come on, this is what, come on. Okay, come on. And we're just not getting it. And so what Jesus would do is he would put his disciples in a completely immersive experience. Sometimes he'd go, listen, I want you to go out and I want you to go cast out some demons. I just wonder if Jesus is going, I cannot wait to see how this is going to work out. He would put them in an experience so that they could feel what was happening. And then he would come in and he would go, okay, here's what's going on. So let's look at this, because Jesus had been telling them since day one, listen, I'm the Messiah, I'm the one that's come, I'm come to set people free, all these different things, and I'm not the Messiah that everyone thinks I am. They're misunderstanding what God's purpose was in the Old Testament. My purpose wasn't to come to give you a new state, a new government. My purpose is to give you a kingdom that will never end, the kingdom of God, all these different things. But they still weren't fully getting it. And so Jesus sets up an immersive experience for them. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he, Jesus Christ, said to them, let's go across to the other side. Now pause right there, because this little statement is often missed, because people think, oh, the disciples got in a boat with Jesus, they went across the boat, it got a storm, Jesus did this, no problem. No. Whose idea was it to get in the boat? Come on now with me here. Whose idea was it to get in the boat? It's Jesus's. Jesus goes, hey, y'all, let's get in the boat. No, he wasn't country, but he's like, let's get in the boat. Come on, y'all, let's go. Let's get in the boat. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, I wonder if Jesus is going, I can't wait. They get in the boat. Watch what happens. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him, which, by the way, I'm not going to lie, I've missed that for most of my life. Jesus wasn't just in a boat all by himself with the disciples. There were other boats in the convoy. But Jesus was only in the disciples' boat. That's another story. And a great windstorm just happened to arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Now, the wind, the rain. We live in Indiana. We have some of the best thunderstorms on the planet. Am I right? I love thunderstorms. I love watching them. Get me a cup of coffee and I watch them roll in. They're fantastic. But I will tell you, having been in Israel and talking to the people that live there, this particular area, the Sea of Galilee, is in a depressed area. Not depressed like economy, like it's down into, right? And so what happens is out of nowhere, these winds come over the top of the mountains and they hit the Sea of Galilee with no warning whatsoever. So you can go literally 60 seconds from one to the other, complete calm and sunshine, to the worst thunderstorm and windstorm you've ever been in your life. And that's what happens. Now, Jesus is in the boat, correct? So you would think, well, Jesus is going to be like, all right, y'all, chill. Let's see where Jesus is. But he was in the stern, asleep. You ever felt like Jesus was asleep at the wheel? No, seriously. Have you ever felt that way? And Jesus is asleep on the cushion. And at least they know enough to wake him. And they woke him, but then they went too far. And they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're dying? We're perishing." I'm going to be real honest with you here. I have prayed that prayer before. Don't you care? Don't you care what's going on? I mean, do you not see? Don't you care? Notice, this is out of what? Peace or panic? Panic. Man, they are freaked out by this. Even though Jesus is right there. But he's asleep. He's not doing what they would expect him to do. And so they wake him up and tell him his job, which I love that. And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Now, this sounds so pretty, doesn't it? Peace, be still. So I looked that up this last week because I'm like, that's interesting. Do you know what the modern day, like today, translation of that phrase is? Shut up. Not kidding. I'm not kidding. It's silence or shut up. Jesus wakes up. He's like, shut up. Can you imagine being in the boat when this is happening? These are seasoned fishermen, most of them. They're in this boat with Jesus. He's asleep. They think they're dying. They literally say, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" He wakes up and he goes, "Shut up." And the wind ceased. And there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And their response, look at this. And they were filled with what? Fear. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So a couple things. Sometimes God will intentionally put you in the middle of a storm. I know. Those of you that love to watch late night preachers, and they tell you, listen, you accept Jesus Christ, and you're going to drive a Bentley and wear Gucci shoes. I'm just telling you, ain't the truth. Because it's not the good days that grow us. It's the tough ones. And because God is more interested in your growth than he is your bank account's growth, he will intentionally introduce you and put you in the middle of a storm. Because the obstacle isn't in the way, the obstacle is the way. Second thing, even though he may put you in the middle of the storm, he'll never put you there alone. Later on, because he's trying to encourage them to grow a little bit, Jesus does send them into a storm without him. But you know where Jesus goes after he sends them into the storm? He goes to the mountaintop to watch them and pray over them. And then he walks on the water. And that's when we have the famous Peter going, "If it's really you, Lord." And everyone makes fun of Peter because he fell. But he's the only person outside of Jesus that walked on water. Put that on your resume. God will sometimes lead us into the storm, but he'll never put us in the storm alone. And then finally, peace is not found in the absence of the storm. It's found in the presence of Jesus. See, God doesn't say you won't have storms. God says, "I will go through the storms with you. I will walk with you." He may wrap you in a horrible storm just to show you his power over the storm. Which is exactly what Jesus did to the disciples. Can you do me a favor? Close your eyes real quick. I just want you to picture this. Because I did this week. I'm like, oh my goodness, when you stop and you think about these moments and these stories that we read and we wrote, you know, it's so easy. But think about that. They are from one moment so afraid of dying. They are soaking wet. They are shivering. They are cold. Rain is pounding on them. The waves are breaking over. The ship is sinking. They wake Jesus up. They're like, Jesus, don't you care if we're dead? Jesus wakes up and says, shut up, and it all stops. A raindrop drops off of Peter's nose, and they're all just staring at Jesus. And he goes, what are y'all so afraid of? Can you imagine how powerful that moment was? He's done the same thing for you. He's done the same thing in your life. When you thought there was no way out, no way around, no way through, and yet all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. So, we have to choose peace instead of panic. So, a couple questions. What storm are you in right now? What storm or storms, plural, are you in right now? Where do you feel like you're sinking? And there's no escape. Well, can I challenge you to do this? Instead of panicking, speak to Jesus. You know what I mean, speak to Jesus? Speak to Jesus. You like me, like get alone and like get in a closet where no one can see me and whisper, Jesus, are you there? No, like when you're driving down the road. Okay, don't close your eyes, by the way, when you're driving down the road. But when you're driving down the road, Jesus, I don't know what's going on. I got called into work. This is happening. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm just telling you this. This is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling. These are my emotions. This is what's happening. But God, I know that you can speak one word. And it can be all over with. So I am trusting you. I am following you. I am going to go through this because even though this might seem like an obstacle, I'm choosing to believe that it's not in the way, it is the way. Peace instead of panic. Second one. Again, depending upon the obstacle, find purpose over pain. Find purpose over pain. Let me just give you a quick recap of the guy we're going to be talking about. His name is Joseph. Joseph's life reads like a Greek tragedy. You ever thought about that? He was born into a family with 10 brothers. His 12th brother was born after he was already alive. After his 12th brother was born, his mom died. His dad loved him so much that the other 10 brothers hated him. Hated him so much, they called him the dreamer. Made fun of him, picked on him, bullied him mercilessly, completely. God gave him a dream. He shared the dream with his brothers. The brothers are like, oh, okay, jerk, whatever. He shared the dream with his dad. His dad's like, who do you think you are? You think you're going to be better than us? What are you, better than us? Then he goes and visits his brother because his dad says, I want you to check on his brothers. His brothers love him so much, they throw him into a pit. You're like, you think you had it bad? Give me purple nurples all the time. No. They were betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he found somebody who actually believed in him and his boss, and he began to do everything, took care of everything for his boss, made his household so great. His boss's wife was like kind of sweet on him and going after him. Instead of having sex with his boss's wife, he said, no, I'm not going to do that, ran away. And so then he becomes accused by his boss of attempting to do that, gets thrown into prison. He's in prison, and he's taking care of the prison, even though he's a prisoner. And then two guys show up, and he reads their dreams. He says, listen, one of you is going to be killed. The other of you is going to go back into Pharaoh's court. Hey, would you be so kind as to remember me and go and tell Pharaoh this? And he goes, sure, I will. He goes and he forgets about him. So he's forgotten by the very people that he helps. All these things, let's be honest, we would consider these obstacles. These would be difficult things that we would not enjoy. Joseph very easily could have been all filled with all sorts of pain and painful responses and defense mechanisms to protect himself from being hurt. But Joseph instead began looking for the purpose behind his pain. Now, very clearly, okay, finding or looking for the purpose behind your pain doesn't mean that you ignore that the pain happened. I'm not pretending that pain doesn't happen. I'm not pretending that some of you aren't here this morning in a great deal of pain because of the past and the things that have happened. Finding the purpose in your pain does not mean you pretend it doesn't happen. But the truth is, you can own the pain instead of letting the pain own you. You can choose to respond differently than just becoming angry and bitter and defensive. You are not responsible for the pain that others have caused in your life, but you are response able, right? You can respond to it differently. And so you have the ability to do that. And that's exactly what Joseph does. So at the end of the book, and end of the story of Joseph's life, his dad dies off, and his brothers now are freaked out because they're like, now that dad has died, he is going to seek his revenge on us. And so his 10 brothers come and they fall before him like, Joseph, we are so sorry. Remember what daddy said. Daddy said, don't hurt us. Literally, that's what they say. I'm not kidding. Look at Joseph's response. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. If it wasn't for Joseph's pain, he could have never fulfilled his purpose. He wouldn't even been in the right country if it wasn't for his pain. But if he focused on his pain, he would never have found his purpose. So ask yourselves, why am I going through this? Where does my purpose live in this pain? Where have you allowed pain to become so loud in your life that you can't see your purpose? That you need to begin to look at it differently. Because we need to stop looking at the pain as an end in and of itself and start looking for how it's refining us for our purpose. Because the obstacle isn't the way, or isn't in the way. It is the way. Last one. Grow through it. Don't just go through it. Grow through it. Don't just go through it. Now, side note. God loves you so very much. And he is intentionally purposeful about you becoming the man or woman that he has called you to be. For those of you that have children, if you are trying to teach your children a valuable life lesson and they don't get it, what do you do? Do you just throw up your hands and go, I tried? What do? You teach it again. And if they don't get it, what do? Teach it again and again and again. You're like, well, why can't I just go through it? Because you don't want to go through it again. Because God loves you so very much, he will not just allow you to not get it. Some of you have been going through the same type of thing over and over and over and over and over and over, and God is going, I'm trying to teach you something, but we're doing, all I want to do is get through it. Just want to get to the other side. Listen, I don't want to stay in hell because the devil might know I'm here. I got to get going. The obstacle isn't in the way. It is the way. You've got to learn to grow through the things that are happening in your life. That's why Paul can write these words, Romans chapter 5, verses 3-5. We can rejoice too. when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God, what? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Did you realize that up until this modern age, suffering was not considered a bad thing? It's true. Now, you're not going to read, you know, literature from 100 years ago and people going, I love suffering. No. But they understood the purpose of suffering. Suffering kind of took the rough edges off of you. Suffering toughened you up to be able to do something bigger and better and bolder. Suffering was a purposeful, instrumental thing, and people understood that. But in our modern age of convenience and ease and simplicity, we have deemed suffering as this bad, negative thing. And if you are suffering, it is because you are outside the will of God. That is baloney. That's baloney. I'd use stronger language, but I mean, you know, like, it's baloney. It's not true. Suffering has purpose to it. The way I like to think about it is that suffering seasons us for success. Suffering challenges us. It causes us to see things differently. And Paul says we can rejoice when we run into trials and difficulties. How is that even possible? Well, you look through the problem. You look through the pain, and you see how it's growing you. You see how it's developing you. And that's what Paul lays out. He goes, listen, it makes us endure. It makes us become stronger. It makes us be more faithful. All these things that it produces in our life, it's actually something that actually helps us grow. And you see how it's actually preparing you for what God has for you next. You look through the suffering and you see how the suffering will season you for greater success in the future, because the obstacle isn't in the way. The obstacle is the way. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up, I want to challenge you to flip the script in your mind. Begin to tell yourself the truth about who God says you are. Begin to write the story that God wants you to live. And when that obstacle, that first difficulty that comes your way, I want you to reach into your pocket and pull out your lip butter. Let it go, yeah. Strawberry, by the way, is fantastic. Okay. And kiss the wave. I can't stop when I put it on. I can't. There we go. Watch the small group video. I put it on at the beginning, and I can't stop the whole way. I'm like, because the, sorry. I'm serious. Okay, there we go. Okay. Because the obstacle isn't in the way. The obstacle isn't what's tripping you up. It's not what's keeping you from becoming who God's created you to be. The obstacle is the way. And God wants you to learn from it and grow through it and find your purpose in it. So don't avoid it. Ride it. Ride the wave. And let it carry you. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the fact that sometimes you put storms in our life. God, that's hard to pray. I'm not going to lie. But when we realize that the storm isn't the end, the storm is the process, the storm is the way, then we can pray it a little bit more confidently. God, if we truly embrace the fact that you love us, then God, we can have faith, we can have trust, we can believe that there's purpose behind it. And God, we can embrace that purpose instead of fighting against it. Father, for those here this morning who, like, they literally feel like they are in the middle of a storm, whether it's emotional or financial or relational or spiritual or physical, God, I pray that they would begin to look at it through your eyes and begin to realize that the obstacle isn't in the way, but rather it's preparing me for the way. It's growing me, it's strengthening me, it's causing me to find my purpose in you. Father, now as we respond, I pray that those of us who are struggling or overwhelmed or maybe even tearful right now, God, I pray that we would just sing with every ounce of breath these truths and embrace what you're doing in us this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and respond. Mm-hmm.